And I want to welcome everyone today. Thank you so very much for coming. We appreciate this. We look forward to coming to Coos Bay, and my committee members have certainly made an effort to come. You realize that this is a 7-hour drive for some of our people, and so or longer. And so I appreciated their enthusiasm about joining us today to come to Coos Bay. We had a great stop this morning, stopped at the Port of Umpqua, and got a chance to hear about things that were happening in Reedsport and in our small port. So it was really very good. I also want to thank Channel 14 and KCBY for being here today to cover our committee meeting. That's special, and I think that's just great. I'd like to recognize a couple of people who have been in our positions here. I see former Representative Mike Lehman just came in, and I have former Senator Ken Messerly with us this morning. So that's just great. And I was looking around to see if we had any local officials with us. Perhaps they'll be joining us a little later today, and we have Ryan Windtimer from Gordon Smith's office, and of course my good friend accompanying him. Hi. And I'd like to introduce the committee to you in a little bit of a personal way, because I want you to know who these people are. I brought them here to put a human face on Coos Bay and the area and North Bend. But I want you to know the people that are working for you in Salem, because I think that's extremely important. To my far left and your right is Senator Bruce Starr. Senator Starr and I served in the House together. You know, it had been a decade since a transportation package had gotten out of the legislature. And Senator Starr, then Representative Starr, was chairing the Transportation Committee. And it was through his style that he was able to bring stakeholders together and to work. And it was the beginning of the OTIA packages that have been repairing our roads. And, of course, that was the first ones that came out with the highway packages. Senator Starr is from Hillsborough. He served in the House, and then he moved to the Senate to join his father, Senator Charles Starr. So we have a father-son duo there in the Senate, which I don't know how many of those there are across the nation, but they certainly join, I'm sure, an elitist group, having the family there. Moving on now, we have Senator Rick Metzger. Senator Metzger is also a former chair of the Transportation Committee and was instrumental in helping put through OTIA 3, which now you see with our roads and bridges. Both of these people have been very responsible for the kind of money that has come in to your area as well with the bridges in Coos County. Senator Metzger is from Welch's. Welch's is celebrating their 100th birthday today, and he has joined us in Coos Bay, so he probably will have to make that up to his constituents. Senator Whitsett says he is the true freshman with us, and he only claims to have been just about 30 days or something with this group. He's not sure about us. He's from Klamath Falls and is a retired veterinarian, and he's also my neighbor in the Capitol. We have offices next to each other. He is the vice chair of this committee and is very involved in coming and getting up to speed with our issues, and makes very, very good comments at our committee, and I look forward to working with him through the session as my vice chair. Senator Brzezinski is from Eugene. When we got to Reedsport today, everybody there knew him, so I don't know whether he needs an introduction, but I'll introduce him anyway. Senator Brzezinski and I served in the House together as well, and he is an attorney, very bright, and I welcome him so very much on this Transportation Committee. He will be a wonderful contributor to our conversation as we go through the session. Joining us today is your own representative, Barney Roblin. And we're delighted to have Representative Roblin join us at the dais.
Yeah, and I wanted to extend my appreciation to the committee and to Joanne for the invitation. The Senate, I want to commend them also in taking the people's work out to the different areas. And there's another meeting happening today of the Senate Education Committee, which I was invited to attend. It's in Roseburg. And the issues that we're going to be here, and after talking to Joanne and hearing the ones to be discussed, are critical for our area. And I was pleased to have the invitation and jumped at the chance to be here. And I appreciate the opportunity to sit up here and hear the testimony today and be a part of this. But I think that the stage has been set by the Senate and moving out and showing people all around the state the important issues that are happening. It's great to see the crowd of people here today, which I think justifies the experience of doing this with people throughout the state. So I thank you very much.
You're very welcome. You'll be proud of to have Representative Roblin representing you in the legislature. They've already been moving him around to positions of some authority. He was there just a few weeks, and the leadership began to realize that maybe we need to put this gentleman in some places that he can give us the expertise that he brings with him from his service not only with your schools, but also service with the Water Board. And so I'm very proud to have him replace my seat in the House of Representatives. And good to have you here with us today, Barney. Let me tell you a little bit about the agenda this morning. This morning we're going to be having several presentations. And then we'll take a quick lunch break and come back at 1 o'clock and do some real business in front of you and give you an opportunity to make some comments to us. Following the closing of the meeting, the committee will join some local folks and go out to the North Bend Airport for a tour before they leave. We're hoping to move the agenda along quite well so that our folks get back at least before there's too much fog. Lawton and I drove in last night, and I can tell you that the fog was very, very thick, like soup. And so, but we do want to get as much business in as possible. So having said that, I'm going to call on Martin Callery from the Port of Coos Bay. And Martin, before you begin, come right on up to the podium. It was my first time this morning to meet the new Port of Coos Bay, and I'd like to recognize him now, Director Bishop, Jeffrey Bishop. So nice to see you, and I've read about you and heard about you, and I was eager to get to Coos Bay to have that opportunity. And do you have some of your commission here today? Very good.
Vice President of our commission, Kevin Kuhn, is here today. And on behalf of the court, I'd like to thank the Senator for her leadership and also for the committee for your time and energy in coming to Coos Bay North Bend, the Bay Area, to hear about our community. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, and we're happy to be here, and we wish you the very best as you lead the International Port of Coos Bay to great things. All right. Welcome, Mark.
Good morning, Senator. Good morning, Ernie. It's good to see you down here. I want to thank all of you for making the trip down here to hear about some of the port's projects. My name is Martin Callery. I serve as the port's communications and marketing director. I've been involved with projects in the area of transportation for about 6 years now. and I really appreciate the opportunity to testify here today. First item I want to focus on is our Coos Bay Railroad Bridge. This bridge is a vital link for our community. It connects marine terminals in the Coos Bay North Bend area and several wood products manufacturing plants in Coos County to the national rail system. Without it, the manufacturing plants would lose a shipping option that helps them remain competitive, and marine terminals in the harbor would no longer be able to compete for and attract some types of regional marine cargo. In the fall of 1992, representatives of the Southern Pacific, which is now UP, informed port staff that their bridge inspectors had determined that the Coos Bay Railroad Bridge needed significant financial investment to extend its operating life, and that given the declining carloads moving across the bridge, they were not going to make that investment. Port staff immediately began talking with the Oregon Department of Transportation and the former Oregon Economic Development Department, as it was known then, about funds to rehabilitate the bridge. We quickly discovered two things. There was little funding available for rail projects in Oregon, and it was nearly impossible to use public funds for privately owned transportation infrastructure. In the interim, a short line railroad holding company bought the Siskiyou and Coos Bay branch lines and formed the Central Oregon and Pacific Railroad, except they did not buy the bridge because of its condition and the liability of having to remove it if it was determined to be an obstruction to navigation. During this time, port staff was working with Congressman Peter DeFazio to secure funds for the bridge from the Omnibus Transportation Funding Bill, T21. The congressman, with the help of Oregon's U.S. senators, was successful in having the bridge included in T21 as a line item. In 1999, the port acquired the Coos Bay Bridge from UP. We had not considered owning or operating a rail bridge, but we definitely did not want to lose rail service to the marine terminals or to South Coos County. The two large wood product manufacturing plants in Coos County, Georgia Pacific Sawmill in the Bunker Hill area of Coos Bay, and Roseburg Forest Products plywood mill at Coquille, depend on rail to get their products to market and for inbound raw materials. Officials from both firms made it very clear when they learned that rail service could end. Without rail as a transportation option, their mills would no longer be candidates for future investment or allocation of raw materials. They were very blunt about it. The GP mill has more than 120 employees, and the Roseburg mill has more than 400. These mills and their jobs and the indirect jobs they produce are some of the most significant wood product sector jobs in our region. When the port acquired the bridge, we were then able to utilize the $5.5 million from T21. We then worked with the Oregon Economic and Community Development Department to get a grant loan package to begin phase one rehabilitation of the bridge. Other funds came from the North Bay Urban Renewal Agency and the Regional Investment Board. The port implemented, through Corp, the short line operator, a per-car tariff on the bridge that helps defray the loan indebtedness and generates funds for future maintenance. The phase one construction consists of support pier rehabilitation, structural steel repair and replacement, rail and tire replacement, and some other various repairs. The total cost of phase one is $6.9 million, and it will be completed within the next 2 weeks. We must now move forward into phase two to secure an extended operating life for the bridge. Port staff is currently working with the Oregon U.S. Congressional delegation, again Congressman DeFazio and Senators Wyden and Smith, to secure the funding of the majority of the funding required for phase two. This phase will complete pier reconstruction and steel replacement and provide a high-tech coating system to preserve and protect the bridge from further erosion. Phase two is estimated at $10 to $12 million. When both phases are completed, the bridge's operating life will be extended by a minimum of 20 to 25 years. It should be noted that before we ever began bridge rehabilitation, there were cost estimates ranging from $44 million to $70 million for a complete replacement. That cost would be higher today. When completed, the bridge rehabilitation will total about $17 to $19 million. Another rail project the port is pursuing and actually moving to construction is a rail spur to provide access to industrial lands on the North Spit. This is a project the port has pursued for many years. In addition to port-owned property on the Spit, the rail line will provide access to other industrial property, some private and some public, including property owned by Weyerhaeuser, an 80-acre BLM parcel, and several other significant holdings. The catalyst for the construction of the rail spur on the Spit is the siting of a new small log sawmill in the port's North Bay Marine Industrial Park. Southport Forest Products is a six-year-old company with approximately 60 employees who has achieved success by focusing on a specific niche in the wood products industry. But they face significant challenges in their current location. They do not have direct access to rail and are forced to double-handle finished product in order to meet customer demands for rail delivery. Additionally, their present site constrains them from expanding and creating new jobs. On June 17, 2004, the Ports Board of Commissioners approved an agreement to sell Southport more than 30 acres of North Spit property for a state-of-the-art sawmill. Final execution of the sale was contingent on the port's ability to deliver an industrial rail spur to the mill site within a specified timeline. During the past several months, we have developed a rail plan and construction cost estimates, applied for and received funding assistance from a variety of sources, and plan to advertise for bids within the next 60 days. The primary funding assistance is coming from the Oregon Department of Transportation Rail Division, $1.7 million, and the Federal Economic Development Administration, about $1.15 million. Funds also have been pledged by Coos County's North Bay Urban Renewal Agency and the Regional Investment Board. The property proceeds also will go to the rail spur. It is likely that the port will take on significant debt to complete this project, and we will implement a per-car tariff to help with the debt load and to set aside funds for future maintenance. Until all the funds are received, we have the assurances of OECDD that they are providing bridge financing so that we can move forward now. As we move forward with the rail spur, we identified an opportunity to complete a long-desired realignment of Trans-Pacific Parkway, something that creates a better, safe road intersection out there for three different roads. That's the industrial road access to the North Spit. And we saw a chance to meld the two projects, which we were doing. This would save engineering and design costs and some construction costs. Region 3 staff at ORAD helped us move the realignment from the 2006-2009 STIP to the 2004-2007 STIP, and got funding approval from a $1.05 million from the Oregon Transportation Commission so that we can do the two projects together. As Southport develops their mill, they will invest between $15 and $20 million in equipment and on-site rail. In the future, we expect them to upgrade an existing barge slip on the property to utilize marine transportation, which, given its cost structure, should help them increase their competitiveness. Southport's growth will create more family wage jobs and will likely increase longshore work hours in the Coos Bay Harbor. We believe the Southport Mill and constructing North Spit Rail will lead to other significant development on the North Spit. Port staff is currently communicating and talking with other entities that are interested in that property out there. Some of the projects involve possible new maritime commerce, which again increases local longshore work hours. We've always had lookers on the North Spit, but now the projects are really viable projects. Another significant North Spit project now moving forward through the state and federal permitting processes is the proposed Jordan Cove LNG Marine Terminal. This project represents a $150 million investment and will create 40 to 50 high-paying jobs, not counting up to 250 jobs during the two-year construction period. When completed, the terminal will increase deep draft vessel traffic in Coos Bay by a minimum of 24 vessel calls per year, and here again provide more longshore work hours. In fact, talking with Bob Braddock, the project manager, he's thinking that this project within 2 years could lead to at least 40 vessel calls a year in Coos Bay. That would be a very significant increase for us given our current numbers. The point I want to make is that over the past 12 years, we've seen a growing awareness in the legislature of the need for funding assistance for non-highway transportation infrastructure throughout Oregon, both in the rural communities and in the metro areas. Progress has been made in addressing these needs during past legislative sessions. Good examples are the channel deepening project for the Port of Keys Bay in the mid-1990s and the critically necessary Lower Columbia River channel deepening currently underway. In fact, the funds for our North Spit rail spur came about because of the legislature's understanding of the need for non-highway transportation infrastructure. The port is aware of the proposal by Governor Kulongoski to provide funding for non-highway transportation infrastructure through Connect Oregon, and we are following the debate about this very closely. The Port of Coos Bay supports Connect Oregon's concept, especially in that we have projects, our Phase 2 rail bridge rehabilitation and an extension of the North Spit rail spur to serve other industrial sites, which we would hope would successfully compete for the available funds. We believe that there will be significant opportunities to leverage both federal funds and private sector investment through the Connect Oregon program, and we are pleased that the program stresses intermodal linkages and a financial commitment from local project proponents. I would like to just say one thing about an additional project. It's not a project that Ford is involved in, but I know Gary and some of his port or his airport staff or board people are here today. That's an important project for this community also. As we work at the port to look at industrial development and the development of commercial projects in the area, the airport is critical to growing another sector of our economy, and that's the tourism sector. And Gary and the airport board have worked very hard to come up with a plan. They have significant federal funding for it, and the port supports the funding that they're asking for from the Oregon Senate and from the legislature, actually. So, in closing, the port, on behalf of the region we serve and all of Oregon's ports, needs support from this committee and the legislature as a whole. The key to a revitalized Oregon economy is having an efficient, cost-effective transportation system that emphasizes intermodal linkages and that best serves Oregon's industries, agriculture, ports, and communities. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Martin. That was a great presentation. I'd like to make just a few comments in response, and then I'd like to open it up to the committee for questions for you.
Please.
Senate Bill 71 is the Connect Oregon bill, and it will come to this committee, and so I hope you will follow it very closely. As chair of the committee, I am dedicated to helping create a much better competitive edge in Oregon for an economic development of our areas and to create jobs. And we will be taking that into consideration under the umbrella of economic development as we move forward with transportation, because the answer for Oregon is jobs. And being an income tax state, it's based on that, and we must build these communities, and it must be statewide. Having introduced the committee, I know that you appreciate the geographical spread of this committee and the fact that we have both rural and urban attitudes to bring into the conversation, and I think that's very important. One of the things that you mentioned was the bridge monies through the Oregon Transportation. I'm sure you're familiar with the Oregon State University study that's just been done that says that some of the bridges simply were not in as bad a condition as people thought. And so that is going to alleviate some of that money. And so I'm wondering if you've had any conversations about that. Money, of course, is to be done for bridges. I'd like to shift it, but I don't think they'll let you do that.
But in
your case, that's going to be of great interest to you that you follow that. So would you like to respond to that?
Well, I'd like to see it shifted, too, but I understand the restrictions on the funding that goes to ODOT, and the majority of that funding from gas taxes, car registrations, and that type of thing really is dedicated to roads and highways and bridges and on those corridors. But I think it points out the need for some variety of funding that lets us address some of these things. Because if you have a functioning rail bridge, you are relieving congestion on the highway system. You're putting it's roughly equivalent to three and a half truckloads on a rail car, and those truckloads provide wear and tear on the highways. I would like to see some mechanism that we can take that into consideration when we look at funding for rail and for other modes of transportation that take loads off the highway system.
I'd like to also comment. I'm not going to read the memorial, but I did bring with me a memorial that Senator Starr suggested that the committee send to Washington, D.C. about dredging. And because of the essence of time, and I don't want to take the link, I do have the draft. It will come to the full Senate, and so I hope you'll follow that as well.
Well, we're very much following the dredging issue. Even this year, this fiscal year, in the federal budget, we don't quite have enough money to do all of the dredging we need to do to keep Coos Bay at its authorized federal navigation designation. So we're having to make some compromises, and that's not something you want to do. Not that the Corps of Engineers would take advantage, but, you know, if they see that you're willing to give up a little bit here, sometimes they'll say, well, they gave it up last time, so we won't put it in the next budget. It's a dangerous precedent to set, but we are having to make some compromises this year. Next year, it looks even bleaker in 06. And I know some of the shallow draft ports coastwise have been totally zeroed out. That is a significant impact on those smaller communities that depend on commercial fishing fleets and recreational fishing and boating for their entire economy.
Committee members, questions, comments? Yes. Senator Whitsett is recognized.
Chair Bridger, Mr. Martin, as you, I'm sure you know, Senate Bill 71 would create $100 million in lottery bonding, primarily for capital construction and aviation, ports, railroads, and so forth. The Connect Oregon bill essentially does not have any projects yet identified, which gives, in which to spend the money, which would seem to give you somewhat of an advantage because you have some projects identified and are pretty well on the paper. In addition to what you already have identified, we talked a little earlier about the potential for a deep water port for container ships. Could you expand for the community to say what would be necessary to do that, the timeline and the cost, please?
Well, in order for Coos Bay to be a player, I'll say, in the container ship industry or in the container shipping industry, we would really have to have a facility here that could handle that type of vessel, those types of cargoes with the types of handling equipment, cranes, container moving equipment, that type of thing. But we would also need a much deeper channel than we have now. That's not to say it can't be done because we've done it before. We would also have to continue improving our linkages to the national interstate highway system and to the national rail system. Those are critical if you're going to get into the container business. As far as a scale of magnitude, we had a study done about, in fact, it'll be 2 years and a couple of months, that pointed out that if we wanted to get into a new terminal here with a limited container capacity, we were looking at an investment somewhere in the neighborhood of $40 to $60 million. Those are gross numbers. They didn't look at the fine detail, but we know that it would, that at least the landside facilities would be in that scope. As far as the container, or as far as dredging, that's a whole other number, and we'd have to work with the Corps of Engineers and others, other engineering firms, to get some kind of a scale on that. The whole investment that the nation has made in dredging is being ignored right now because of the cutbacks in the Corps of Engineers budget.
Any other comments or questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
At this time, I want to recognize some local officials that are here, Mayor Joe Bonetti, Mayor Rick Wetherill, County Commissioner Nikki Witte, and I saw County Commissioner Gordon Ross. I don't see him right now, but I did see him. Perhaps he's going to come in a little later. And I see City Administrator Jan Willis here. Welcome. Just great to have so many people. Mayor Bonetti is going to be bringing Taste Oregon food as one of the restaurants recognized at an event very soon. I'm always very proud to see people from my district bringing things into the state awareness, so congratulations, Mayor Bonetti. I'd give you either you or Mayor Weatherall a chance if you want to make any comments at all right now. I don't blame you. And also now I'd like to recognize another former legislator, John Watt. Wonder if you'd come forward, John. And I know you have a few words to say to the committee, and this would be a good time to do that.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is John Watt. I'm here today representing the Medford-Jackson County Chamber of Commerce. Thank you for the opportunity to appear before your committee in beautiful Southern Oregon. I think, first of all, and I just would like to visit for a moment, first of all, I would like to recognize how important the metropolitan area in the city of Portland is to what we do economically within the state. Our survival depends upon what goes on up there. But as we go along, we see areas of the state growing at an incremental pace, Bend, certainly the area that I'm from in Medford. And we look for those economic development opportunities in other places throughout the state. And from our perspective in Southern Oregon, we look to Coos Bay, and we see Coos Bay as seeing some really exciting opportunities that will benefit certainly our region of the state, but also the state as a whole. I would tell you, as I began to get involved in the process way back in the olden days, I guess, we had some frustrations in our region with regards to transportation. We found, after finding a county allocation study through ODOT and going back several decades, that the average dollars that we got back for transportation in proportion to what we sent to Salem was about 68 cents on every dollar. We were going through a growth period of time, but we weren't able to keep up our transportation infrastructure, and we saw some real needs if we were going to be able to succeed and not have a lot of the problems that happen when you don't plan those kinds of things. In any event, at that time, I will tell you, we had regions in our area who were looking to improve their own lot in life, if you will, whether it's the cities or the counties, and as they would appear before the Transportation Commission and indicate the importance of having their transportation budgets filled. And we believe that's probably one of the reasons we are getting such a small amount of return on our investment. We decided through the community that it would be best if we worked together as a region and appeared before the state commission with recommendations that were supported by everyone in the region. And we're kind of proud of that. We believe that that was the forerunner to the Area Commissions on Transportation that now operate in most parts of the state, not all. But we've been able to, through that kind of cooperation, we've seen some projects completed in our area that have been vital to our growth. We see now a time that those projects are being funded, that are being completed, and now we look to how we can help others in our region. And as we look to our friends to the east, we're certainly looking at ways to help move freight between Lakeview and Klamath Falls. the possibilities of looking at widening Highway 97. And we also look to Coos Bay and see a great deal of opportunity here. Now, admittedly, I'm here today to learn, hopefully, as much as you all can learn about a region of the state I don't know a great deal about. But we're here today to let the committee know, but perhaps more importantly, let the community know that from our region of the state, as one of the urban areas, if you will, that's closest to Coos Bay, that we're ready, willing, and able to offer our support through the process to help however we can. That's the message I bring from Medford-Jackson County today. And again, thank you, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Well, on behalf of the people of this area, I just want to thank you for coming from the Medford Chamber of Commerce in Jackson County. You're a good neighbor.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
I'd welcome now Gary Letelier, who will talk to us about the North Bend Airport project and also his chair. I'll have you introduce yourselves for the record, please.
Thank you. I'm a Bridger committee representative, Robin. I'm Sue Richardson. I'm the vice chair of the Coos County Airport District, and I'm honored to testify, speak to you this morning about some of our issues. Thank you so much for coming to our community to visit, to see firsthand some of the challenges and opportunities that we're working with here. Gary Letelier is the executive director of the airport. He seemed to think that another elected official might be a better spokesperson, so this is my trial run at being the spokesperson for the airport district. I do have the honor of serving on the airport district. It is the only one in the state of Oregon, as you probably know, and it is the only, we do provide here the only commercial air service on the coast of Oregon, so we think we're pretty special in a lot of ways here, and we get a lot of support from the community. We have seen some difficult times in this region, as you are aware, and other regions. It's been a rough patch over the last 10 to 15 years. But we are, as you've heard from the other speakers, beginning to see some glimmers of hope and some room for improvement in the opportunities that we have here and the opportunities for this community to grow. I think there's the signs of economic revitalization have been mentioned, you know, by Martin Callery. Kindly by Mr. Watts. You know, we have extraordinary beauty here and opportunities for recreation development and recreation investment here are myriad, as well as the natural resource kinds of investments that we have and that we can build on. Bandon Dunes, the golf resort, is clearly one of the star performers and star attractions in this area, and we want to make sure that we're doing whatever we can to enhance and support that effort. We are looking at, as we have the opportunity to move forward, we're looking at trying to do that in some sort of strategic way rather than just kind of hit and miss. And community leaders here have helped us as a community, as a county, work through not only an airport master plan, but a comprehensive study of the region's transportation systems. So I think Senator Verger's been part of the leadership of that when she was here, as well as in Salem, and we're trying to move forward in a strategic sort of way. The South Coast Development Council was a leader in helping support the transportation study that was done in 2003, and it found some interesting facts about the fact commercial air service and commercial air travel could make a big difference in how Coos County functions in the future, particularly the opportunity to expand commercial air service here and add a route to the south, as well as the connections to the Portland area. The projections from the transportation study also indicate the growth in this area, both in commercial aviation as well as general aviation. The projections are that the traffic will more than double within the next 15 years, and the need for both commercial and general aviation service. Now they've all got something to look at, so they don't have to listen to me. The other thing that the transportation study found, however, was that although the projected growth in both general and commercial aviation is substantial over the next several years. The airport as it is currently exists is one of the limiting factors, not one of the enhancing factors for the growth opportunities here. And that's really where we're coming from today as we come to speak to you and the committee about support for Senate Bill 152, particularly to help with the support for our new terminal and the associated facilities here in North Bend. We want to take advantage of this kind of synergy of economic development opportunities that are coming together here and make sure that the airport is a part of that and not a limiting factor, that the airport can be a part of the opportunity for growth. So to kind of summarize our main challenges at this point that we see that we need help with are the current passenger facilities. Those of you that have had the opportunity to see our facilities, they're adequate, barely, certainly not particularly attractive, but serviceable, built in the 60s, barely adequate in terms of space. We can't handle more than one 37-passenger plane at a time without substantial inconvenience to folks, and that isn't going to cut it with the projected increases, even with our current service, as well as the projected increases. The load factors are hitting 95 to 100%, particularly in the summer. You can't hardly get a seat on the flights in and out of here because they're so full and there's so much traffic going back and forth. At this point, as you know, we are limited again to connections between North Bend and Portland, and we'd like to have the opportunity with a larger passenger facility to look at some connections to southern and other kinds of routes to give travelers as well as ourselves more opportunities and flexibility. And again, the projection of the increase in both commercial and general aviation traffic, as well as cargo, in the next 15 years, we just can't handle with the facilities we have at this point. So that's why we need help, and that's why we're here. As I mentioned, Bandon Dunes, the specifics of Bandon Dunes, I think you are in my testimony if you want to look at it. They would love to host any and all of you as a committee or as individuals to see that operation. It's a world-class facility, one of the top 200 golf courses in the world, building, opening a third one, and the fourth and fifth are under construction. Employment, significant employment, as well as a ripple effect in the community from Bandon Dunes. It's a very impressive facility, and again, they would welcome any and all of you committee members to see what their operation is about. The Coquille Indian Tribe's economic development arm, the Mill Casino Hotel, is flourishing. They bought additional land and are looking at additional opportunities for economic development on the waterfront here. The natural gas pipeline, long overdue and certainly welcome in this community, is a key factor to support economic development. So we see that piece coming together with other pieces. The rail spur that Martin Callery talked about, we just see so many opportunities coming together here with the airport as it stands now as a limiting factor rather than a real growth spur. So that's why we're asking for the help with that's been introduced as Senate Bill 152. Governor Kulongoski last year also helped and recognized the need here and the importance of some development on the South Coast. He named the new terminal facility project as an Oregon Solutions project, and that was a learning experience for us as well as some other folks, but it was a wonderful opportunity for a variety of interests, both state government, federal government, local folks, and industry folks to come together and find ways to get this done and come up with a plan that we've come up with as a coordinated and integrated group to make this happen and make this possible here on the South Coast. So that's what we're asking, asking for your support for Senate Bill 152 at this point, basically to help us continue to build on the work that's been done here and the opportunities that we have. We've gotten significant commitments of resources from the federal government at this point, from FAA grants. We have $3 million committed for our new airport control tower, which is really key in terms of safety as well as efficient operation here. Over $10 million has been designated over the next several years for us to work on improvements to the runways, taxiways, aprons, the airside facilities. So it's helped with the terminal piece that we really need, the passenger facility. So I will slow down here and stop with a basic listing of 5 points at the end of my presentation here that we really need support and appreciate your support for this project so that it will help us solve our commercial and general aviation demands for the economic expansion that we see is with us and moving forward. We want to facilitate future investments in this area rather than be a limiting factor for future investments from the airport side. We want to improve the flight and operational safety piece, as we all know is important to the success of any of these kinds of operations. We want to build new partnerships. We see that opportunity with new industry and other kinds of industry if our airport is at the level it needs to be at. And as we grow and improve and are healthier here, we can become a greater and better part of supporting Oregon's economy in terms of jobs, as the chair and others have so clearly mentioned is important to this area as well as the state at this point in time. With that, I will close if Gary would like to add something or if we can answer questions.
Nothing to add.
Questions? We're going to be looking at Senate Bill 152, so this is your day. Senator Przanski is recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's not really a question. It's more of a comment. I want to thank Ms. Richardson coming up and greeting me at the door. It turns out we're actually former Texans, went to Texas A&M. So it's always nice to find another Aggie.
Oh my.
And we actually went to the same school, as in the sense the same department. We just crossed paths and didn't know each other there. So now I got a new friend here.
Very good.
You never
Very
know
good.
When you might run across somebody.
All right. Well, we will be joining you in giving the committee an opportunity to see the project potential at the airport later today following the meeting. And I appreciate your being here. Thank you for good handouts. And I think that as we go through the discussion and conversation about Connect Oregon and about your project and other projects, I wonder, and if I missed it in your testimony, I apologize, but I wonder if it wouldn't be beneficial to the committee to understand the amount of effort and financial support that the local people have made the effort to get in relationship to what you're asking for, and I wonder if you might comment on that.
That's an excellent point, and I didn't address it sufficiently, I'm sure. I did mention the FAA grants that we have in hand, the $3 million for the control tower. As well as the $10 million over the next several years for the airside improvements. Gary, I think, could speak more specifically to the other commitments we have here for local support of this project.
Yes, we have about a $45 million program here to modernize, upgrade, and renew and replace our airport, which is a World War II Navy Air Base. As Sue mentioned, about $10 million has been programmed by the federal government already for some of those repairs and renewal. There's about $3 million addition to that earmarked for the new terminal facility and, of course, the air traffic control tower. Bandon Dunes has already provided quite a bit of funding for our initial planning. They're participating right now with us and have participated in the selection of our design and construction group and have offered to fund a portion of that design process. So they're very anxious to be partners with us. We're also talking with the state economic folks as well as other financial institutions about financing $6 to $7 million locally here to make this thing happen. So we're a new district, as you know, only 2 years old, the first one, and actually the first airport district in the Pacific Northwest, not just Oregon. So our revenue sources are limited. We're committed to put everything that we have available towards this goal, but it's certainly not enough. Senate Bill 152 is really watershed for us. We cannot move forward without it, candidly. What we have here is a
private developer, an investor that over the course of the next few years will put well over a quarter of $1 billion of private funding and development funds into our region out here, and hundreds of jobs, maybe at that point even thousands. They're asking for help in developing some infrastructure to support that. Their goals are lofty, but I think they'll achieve them. They're bringing this next year, they'll bring the first international tournaments to the coast here. They're talking with the PGA and U.S. Open people now to bring a U.S. Open to Oregon. I think that's very significant. So we don't want to be holding things back. We don't want to be the limiting factor in the development of this region. We want to support this effort. It's a great public-private, you know, and maybe that's an overused cliche, but it is a great example of a public-private venture that, unfortunately, we're just falling a little short right now on infrastructure, and we need your help. So Connect Oregon is a great bill, but we're not candidly sure that it can really help us. Our project is ready to go. We're shovel-ready right now. All we need is the money to get this thing kicked off.
I'd like to tell you what Representative Alan Brown told me. He said the only thing wrong with Bandon Dunes is it's not in Newport. And I would dare say that that is probably shared by every community in Oregon. It is the kind of project that any community would wish for, pray for, and that's what we all talk about, bringing industry in, bringing companies in, and then our part is to help with the infrastructure. And so, Senator Whitson.
Chair Bridger, just more a comment. The similarities between your problems and Klamath Falls' problems are striking. We have a state-of-the-art airport. The International Guard is there, and they train F-15 pilots. I mean, it's a state-of-the-art airport. But like you, our terminal has the gate. And when people fly in and want to know, you know, which gate shall we meet you at, it's the gate. So that does create a constraint. We have Gerald Wynn investing heavily in the Running Wire Ranch Resort. We've been putting in a convention center out there. But we still just have the gate. So I empathize with your problem.
My colleague, Hal Wright, now retired, and of course, now Ann Crook. We've spent many hours commiserating over these issues, and we try to support each other on these types of projects. I would like to say we do appreciate Medford representative here today, on our behalf in supporting our projects.
Senator Starr is recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate the testimony of both yours and Mr. Callery's before you. I'm looking kind of at the penciling out the numbers on this. You said it's a $45 million project. You've gotten $13 million in commitments from the federal government. I believe Senate 152 is the $10 million state commitment. And if I'm doing my math, it looks like you're still looking for $22 million.
That's correct.
You mentioned that Bandon Dunes itself is going to participate. Do you have any further clarity about where you're going to find that other $22 million to get this project done?
We're still working on that problem, Senator. Actually, the first phase, which would actually put us in the terminal building, would be $19 million. So the 45 includes the phase two operation. So to answer your question, no, we don't know where that other $20 million is coming from yet, but we have an aggressive program for searching out grants and aid
And developing our own resources.
So we'll get there. I'm confident of that.
Madam Chair, the opportunity if you attract additional commercial activity here, the opportunity to do some sort of revenue bond based on the landing fees and those kinds of things, I'm sure would be part of that.
Yes.
Sort of toolbox.
Long-term
tools
exactly.
And toolbox.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Other comments?
I just know.
Representative Roper.
Chair, Roger. Just a couple things. I think that we are one of the few airports that has actually had a growth in landings. And if we had a terminal, we could have greater landings, and each of those landings does bring in revenue, which allows for the continued functioning of the airport. And I think that, you know, we have part of the plan is also for parking and those kind of facilities, and the ability to manage those things. And having worked in the area and watched our local people take advantage when they have the opportunity to do it and to take those resources and put them back into the infrastructure, I assume that you've looked at some of those things if we increase. Is there a substantial funds in landing fees and all that?
There is, and they're increasing. Of course, we're small, and we're a good example of the chicken and egg. We know that eventually the revenue production will be there through the growth in passengers. The problem is it's not there at the moment. So, yes, in the long run, we'll profit. We will. We're on the tax rolls at the moment, but we think that within 10 years, the growth will be sufficient to take us, the district, off of those tax rolls. And at that point, we would be able to justify revenue bonds as opposed to seeking out grants. But, of course, right now, we just need that initial help.
I'd like to point to two communities in Oregon that expanded their airport, added more flights a day, and the population grew and jobs were more available, and that is both Redmond and Medford. And so I think sometimes it takes the infrastructure there, and that must come first, and then everything else seems to follow behind it. I want to thank you very much today for being here and your presentation, and we will be recessing. That's going to end the first part of our committee meeting today. We will re-adjourn at 1 o'clock for some business that we need to take care of. So, thank you.
Thank you.